This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You are unmuted. All right, jurors, once again, thank you very much for your patience. Your next witness, Mr. Lally?
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth call Ms. Nicole Albert to the stand.
You saw Mr. Reed, you give the court and jury in the case narrative, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. You can take the stand. I just need you to speak nice and loud into that mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name?
My name's Nicole Albert, A-L-B-E-R-T.
And where do you live?
Nord.
And about how long have you lived in Nord?
About a year.
And prior to moving to Nord, where did you live? Where did you live prior?
Canton.
And, how long had you lived in Canton?
My whole life.
Now, the specific address, where did you live in Canton prior to your move to Nord?
34 Fairview Road.
How long did you live at that house?
About 12 years.
And are you married, ma'am?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's your husband's
name? Brian Albert.
Does he work?
He's retired from the Boston Police.
About how long was he an officer with Boston?
About 30 years.
And do you have children?
Yes, we have five.
And how old are your five children?
My oldest daughter is 28, and then I have a son who's 25. I have another son who's actually 23 today. And then I have twins, a boy and a girl, who are 20.
And your oldest daughter, what's her name?
Caitlin.
Your oldest son, what is his name?
Brian Jr.
And Brian Jr., does he live with you currently?
Yes.
Now, your other children, do they live with you as well?
My oldest daughter lives with her boyfriend in Easton, and my son Brendan lives with us. He's just finishing up college, so he's graduating this month from college, so he's back with us. My twin daughter, goes to college, so she's home now for the summer, but she has an apartment in Bridgewater, and then the twin boy is in the military.
And which branch is he?
The Marine Corps.
Now, if I could turn your attention to January 28th, 2022. Do you recall that day?
Mm-hmm.
And do you recall what day of the week that was?
It's a Friday.
And at the time of January 28th, 2022, did you work?
Yes, I've been a part-time lunch lady for about 9 years.
And you've since retired, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
You've since retired from that?
I haven't retired. I just didn't go back this past year, but.
And around that date, so January 28th, 2022, what, if any, significance was the next day of January 29th?
January 29th was my son Brian Jr.'s 23rd birthday.
And over the course of that week, sort of leading up into the weekend, what, if any, plans did you make with reference to your son and his birthday?
He had mentioned he was going to get together with some friends on the Saturday night, the 29th, for his birthday. And I had said, okay, well, maybe Friday night, if anyone's around, any of our aunts or uncles or anyone, maybe we'll take you out, you know, just local for some apps and drinks or something.
And coming up to that day of Friday the 28th, what if anything sort of changed in reference to those plans?
Well, the forecast was saying a big snowstorm was coming in, and it looked like it was going to be late Friday into all day Saturday. So I had said to my son, well, obviously, doesn't seem like anyone will be able to go out on Saturday night. Why don't you just do something with your friends Friday night?
And had you, at that time, already made some plans with friends and relatives in regards to going out Friday?
Yeah, I had just mentioned to my daughter, Caitlin, and my sister-in-law, Julie, and just had mentioned it to them about possibly getting together Friday.
And just to be clear for the record, when you say your sister-in-law, Julie, how is she sort of related to you?
She's my husband's brother, Chris's wife.
And your husband has a number of siblings, correct?
Yes, he's the oldest of seven.
And yourself and Julie Albert, you guys are friends?
Yes, we're very close.
And so, also just one last question, sort of leading up through the course of that week, where did your husband Brian go?
Sort of last minute, I believe it was Thursday of that week, he went to New York for a funeral.
And do you know who the funeral was in regard to?
It was for a New York police officer who had just been killed in the line of duty.
Do you recall how he got there as far as how he went from Canton to New York?
I believe he may have flown Thursday to New York, and then the plan was to fly back Saturday, but that changed with the weather, and they didn't want to get stuck there, so after the funeral Friday morning, they drove home. A friend of his had driven, so he got a ride back with them on Friday.
And only if you know, but as far as that friend that he drove back with on Friday, do you know who that was?
The friend who I believe had the truck there and drove was Brian Higgins.
And is that someone, Mr. Higgins, that you were familiar with prior to that date in January?
Yes, he was a friend of my husband's.
Now, on that evening of the 28th, can you explain to the jury sort of how it was that you where did you decide to go with your daughter and your sister-in-law?
We just decided to go to Waterfall, a local place, you know, 5-10 minutes down the road from our house. My sister-in-law, Julie, picked me up at my house, maybe 7:30, 7:45. And we went to the Waterfall, and I believe my daughter and her boyfriend, Tristan, were already inside at a table.
And when your sister Julie came to pick you up, the house, in addition to yourself and your son Brian Jr., who, if anyone else, were any of his friends there with that?
I believe two girlfriends may have already had come, and they were just sitting in the kitchen when I left.
And so you go out to the waterfall. When you get to the waterfall, where within the establishment did you go?
We came in, walked in, I believe to the left there was just some small tables, and I think Caitlin and Tristan were already sitting there, so we sat down at the table and we ordered food and just hung out for a little bit, had food and some drinks.
And as far as drinks were concerned, do you recall sort of what you were drinking that night?
I was probably drinking White Claw.
God bless you. Now, later on in the evening, was there any sort of live entertainment there?
Yes. After we ate, my daughter's boyfriend, Tristan, left shortly after because he was going to be going out shoveling, working with a plow guy. So he was planned to go home and just sleep, take a nap, because he was going to have to get up like in the middle of the night to go out and do that. So he had left, so it was just me, Julie, and Caitlin. And at one point, the waitress had said, oh, a band's going to be setting up where you're sitting. Can I move you? So she just kind of moved us over to like a high-top table.
And then after you were moved over to the high-top table, with anyone else came in to join your group?
Shortly after, I believe my sister Jennifer and her husband Matt came in. I had texted her just saying I was there, if she was interested to come by. I think she said she was somewhere else. Did I want to come there? And I said, well, no, I'm already situated. The band's going to play. I'm just going to stay here. So she said, okay, maybe we'll come there. So maybe 9, as she came in with another couple. I believe they had been at a basketball game, their daughter's basketball game. So she came in with them.
And again, just to be clear, when you say your sister Jen and her husband Matt, what is their last name?
McCabe.
And she's your younger sister, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, as far as after they came in, who, if anyone else, sort of came in and joined your group?
Shortly after that, I believe Julie's husband Chris came in. He worked up the street at his pizza shop, so I believe shortly after 9:30, he came down. He came in, and then in the meantime, my husband was, you know, getting close to being back to the area from driving back from New York. So I had texted him and said, "Hey, me and Katie and whoever else are here, if you want to come by." And he was like, "Oh, I'm kind of tired. It's been a long day." And I just pushed him a little. "Oh, well, Katie's here. She, you know, just come. She wants to see you." So he's like, "All right, maybe I'll pop in." So I believe after, so it was Jen and Matt and the other couple. And then Chris came in, and then I believe maybe around 10, Brian came in.
And after your husband Brian came in, was there anybody else that came in and joined you?
Shortly after, maybe 10:30, his friend Brian Higgins had come in.
So your husband Brian and Brian Higgins came in separately, about a half hour apart?
I think so, yes.
And following that, who, if anyone else, came into the establishment and sort of joined your group at the hot tub?
A little bit later, I think approximately 11, John walked in with his girlfriend.
And when you say John, who is John?
John O'Keefe.
And how did you, or did you know John O'Keefe prior to that night?
I didn't know him that well. I think I had only met him once, maybe twice, through my sister. Brief interaction. I think when he first walked in, actually, I didn't recognize him. I think I said to someone, "Oh, who's that?" Because they were kind of walking towards our table, and they said, "Oh, you know, it's John O'Keefe." I said, "Oh." So they came in and they just kind of went to the end of the table where like my sister Jennifer and Matt and Chris and Julie were, because they knew them. You know, I had never met Karen, and I'd only met John once or twice. So they kind of just went to the other end of the table where Jen and Matt were, who they know, and Chris and Julie, who John had been neighbors with for a couple years. So they were all just kind of at that end talking.
And I probably pretty well understood, but just to be clear, as far as the sister that you knew of John through, that was your sister that was there, Jennifer?
Yes, Jennifer.
And as far as you referenced his girlfriend, had you ever met his girlfriend before that night?
No.
Had you ever, so you had never met Karen Reed prior to that night? as far as you recall?
No.
And at any point in time, did you have any interaction, or what, if any, interaction did you have with either Mr. O'Keefe or Mr. O'Keefe?
At one point, John walked by, you know, towards me and my sister, my daughter at the table, and said, "Hey, I'm going up to the bar. Did you guys need a drink or anything?" And we said, "No, thank you." I think he then kind of stopped and spoke with my husband for a minute, probably was asking him the same thing. Then John went back up to the bar, and then he went back down to, you know, where he'd been standing, and that was the only interaction I had with him.
And as far as your understanding or your knowledge of Mr. O'Keefe, did you know what he did for a living?
Yes, sir.
And what did he do?
I knew he was a Boston policeman.
And was he somebody, if you know, that worked with your husband?
No, I don't believe he ever worked with my husband. I don't believe they ever crossed paths at work. I think they were in different areas of, you know, the job.
Fair to say the Boston Police Department is a relatively large department, correct?
Yeah, it's like 3,000.
Now, with reference to Ms. Reed, what, if any, interaction did you have with her that night?
I had none. I don't believe we spoke or we were introduced or anything. I don't think we spoke at all.
Now, turning back to Mr. O'Keefe just for a second, if you recall, what, if anything, do you recall him to be wearing as far as clothing was concerned during your interaction?
I believe he had a hat on, some sort of just sweatshirt, jeans, and sneakers.
At any point in time that you saw him or while he was talking to you, did you see any sort of like winter jacket or big coat or anything like that?
No.
And as far as his clothing was concerned, did you observe it to have any sort of tears in it or any dishevelment, anything like that?
No.
And as far as his face was concerned or any sort of outward part of his body, did you observe, or what, if anything, did you observe with regard to injuries on him or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
Now, as far as your home was concerned, was that somewhere that either Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed had ever been to before?
No.
And over the course of the evening, what, if any, discussion was there that you heard or were a part of in regard to sort of what was going to do or where to go after leaving the waterfall?
Well, after the band wrapped up, I was getting ready to leave, and I just kind of leaned over to my sister Jennifer and said, "Hey, you know, Brian Jr.'s at the house. I think he just has two friends there. He's going to be turning 23 at midnight. If on your way home you wanted to swing by and say happy birthday, you know, if you want to do that, come by and do that." And she was like, "Okay, you know." And then I was just kind of gathering up my stuff, and I got ready to leave. It may have been mentioned at the table, but I had no idea, you know, if anyone else was interested in doing that or wanted to do it. I had just said it to my sister.
And if anybody else had wanted to join or come along, would that have been an issue?
Oh, no. I would have had no problem if anyone sitting with us had come.
But as far as you knew, you just communicated that to your sister Jennifer, and whatever happened after that happened?
Yes.
And when you say sort of the band was wrapping up and the bar sort of winding down, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, about what time was that?
Like 12:45.
And about what time was it, if you know, about what time was it that you left the bar?
A little before 12, 12-ish.
And who, if anyone, left with you?
It was me, my daughter, Caitlin, and my husband.
And how did you get from the waterfall back to your house on Thursday?
My husband drove the three of us back to Fairview Road.
And when you came outside of the waterfall and were sort of, you know, getting into your car and about to drive home, what, if anything, did you observe as far as the weather or what was going on at that point?
It was just starting to snow a little, nothing major, just a little snowfall started coming down.
You could still sort of see the street and the blacktop?
Yeah.
And again, about how long a car ride is that, generally speaking, from the waterfall to your house on Fairview?
5 minutes, 7 minutes.
And as when you arrived at Fairview, who, if anyone, was there when you got there?
When we arrived and I came in, my son was sitting there with his two friends, and my nephew Colin, who is Julie and Chris's son, He was there. I kind of bumped into him when I walked in. I didn't realize he was there. I said, oh, hey, you know, what are you doing here? And he said, oh, I just stopped by to see Brian, but I'm about to leave. My ride's about to be here. I said, oh, okay.
And let me back up just for a minute. So when you arrived there, your husband, Brian, is driving. Where does he park in relation to the house?
We pulled into the driveway.
And typically, is there sort of an order to it as far as where the cars go, like his car versus your car versus any other car?
Not really, no.
Do you recall on that evening which side of the driveway he pulled into, the left?
I believe it was in front of the left garage.
And when you come into and enter into the house when you were living there at 34 Fair, was there, how many doors are there sort of on the front of the house?
Well, there's a side door by the garage, and then there's like a front door in the front of the house.
And is there any sort of particular rhyme or reason as to which door you would be entering?
We usually use the side door. You know, initially I didn't like that because the side door walked right into the family room. So I kind of liked the other door. You could walk into a foyer with, you could take your shoes off, stuff like that. But eventually the people just didn't want to, it was, you know, quicker to walk in the side door for the kids, I guess. So they would just go in the side door. But I think that night, because of the weather and it was wet out, I think I went in the front door so I could walk into the foyer and take my shoes off or wipe my feet or whatever. But some of the other people still may have gone in the side door.
And when you sort of come into that front door where you were going in to sort of take your shoes off in the foyer, is that when you ran into your nephew, Colin?
Yes.
And about how old was Colin around that time?
I think it was 17.
And you mentioned that he had a ride. Did he give you any indication as to who that ride was?
He didn't. He didn't mention at that time who the ride was.
And that sort of interaction that you had with Colin in your house prior to him leaving and walking out, about how long a period of time is that?
A couple minutes, not even. Just a quick interaction.
And then he left home?
Yeah.
You didn't see him for the rest of the night?
No.
And then you come into the home, and again, I'm sorry, who was there sort of initially when you come?
So my son Brian and his two friends, Julie and Sarah, were just kind of sitting at a kitchen table in like the dining room area of the kitchen.
If you could explain to the jury sort of the layout of your home at Fairview. So you walk into a foyer, and then where is the kitchen related to that?
Well, if you walk in, if you go to the right, it's like an open doorway, and that's kind of like the dining room part of the kitchen, but then it extends to the back of the house where it's like an island and like the sink and the counters and the cabinets and all that, so it's just like long.
So as far as the dining room and the kitchen, is there any sort of like wall or structure?
No, it's open in between the two of those things.
And then if I were to go sort of further back within that home beyond the kitchen and the dining room, what's back there?
Well, to the right, there's like the family room.
And is there anything as far as a wall? Can you see into the family room?
You can. It's like an opening. Yeah, it's not completely open, but there's an opening.
So if someone was standing in the family room and you were standing in the kitchen, you could see them, converse with them, that kind of thing?
Yes.
And when you come in and your son, Brian Jr., is sitting around the table with two girls, Sarah and Julie, what are they doing?
We're just sitting there.
Was there any sort of music playing or anything like that going on?
There may have been. I'm not sure if there was music playing at that time, but there might have been.
When you say at that time, was there anything that happened later on?
Well, later on, I remember that we had music connected to like a little speaker. That we were playing. Yeah, but when I first walked in, I don't remember if they had music going or not.
And you get back to the house, and what is it that you're doing sort of when you come back?
So I come in, I assume I, you know, said happy birthday to my son, said hello to his friends, and then I just kind of went to the kitchen area, and like they had ordered food, and so I just did my usual thing where I just was picking up. You know, wasn't a huge mess, but I was just picking up the area, cleaning, probably checked the bathroom to make sure that was clean. Just my usual thing that I do, just picking up around the house.
and I don't mean to minimize this in any way, but you basically did the mom thing where you go around and start cleaning up, correct?
Yeah, yep.
And is that something that you did sort of continuously throughout the evening, or?
Yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Now, after you arrived home, who, if anyone else, came by your house?
Well, once we were there, it was me and my daughter and my husband, and Brian Higgins had come in. And then it was, Brian and his two friends were already there, and then my sister Jen and her husband Matt came in maybe like 12:15-ish.
And so, Mr. Higgins, did he come in around the same time as you, or did he come after or before?
Yeah, he came in the same time. I mean, I think he might have pulled up to our house before us. But we got out of the car and went right into the house, so I assume he just came in, basically around the same time.
Do you have any idea sort of what Mr. Higgins was driving that night when he came to your house?
I believe it was a Jeep.
Do you have any idea where, in reference to your house, where Mr. Higgins parked?
I'm not sure. I thought it was out on the curb facing up Fairview, maybe by our mailbox. But it could have been in the driveway. I'm not 100% sure.
Not something you were particularly paying attention to?
No.
And at some point after you and your daughter and your husband and then Mr. Higgins comes along, about how long a period of time is it between your arrival in the home and then when Ms. McCabe and her husband come?
15 minutes, 20 minutes.
And as far as your nephew, Colin, when he had left, was Ms. McCabe and her husband there yet?
No.
And when Ms. McCabe and her husband come, where is it that, while you're at your house, where is it that everybody sort of congregated?
They came in and they sat down at the kitchen table with Brian and his two friends, and then I believe my daughter, Caitlin, was sitting at the table as well.
And back at your home after leaving the bar, was there any drinking that was going on there afterward?
Yeah.
And about how long, skip forward to a little bit, people had left your home. About how long a period of time was it that people, from the time that you arrived back from the waterfall to the time that people sort of left and you closed down for the night?
By the time everyone left, it was probably close to 2.
And who was the last person that left?
My daughter, Caitlin.
And you know how it was that she left or who, if anyone, picked her up?
Her boyfriend, Tristan, picked her up because, like I said, he was going to have to get up anyways overnight to do the shoveling, plowing thing. So I think she didn't want to get stuck probably at our house for the next day. So she had just said, hey, can you?
Okay, I'm going to end your answer there. Next question, Mr. Lally.
Now, prior to your daughter Caitlin leaving, let me ask you this. As far as people leaving from your house, what was sort of the order of how people left and when people left?
I believe Brian Higgins left first, approximately 1:30-ish. Then Jennifer and Matt and Brian's two friends left 12:45, 12:50. And then, 1:45, 1:50, I'm sorry. And then Caitlin was probably closer to 2.
And when your daughter Caitlin left, who, if anyone, was left downstairs and sort of awake between yourself and the other people that lived there?
Just me.
So your son and your husband had both gone up to bed at that point?
Yes.
And at any point in time, so you mentioned that there were a number of people that were sort of around the table in the kitchen, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
is that yes?
Yes, sorry.
Where did anybody else go sort of around your house during that time?
I know at one point my husband and his friend Brian were in our family room, so I kind of went in there and was talking to them. We had some shelves on the wall that just had a bunch of pictures, old pictures from our wedding or when Brian was in the Marine. So we would just kind of look at them, laughing, talking about them. We stood in there for a little bit talking. And then eventually we just moved into the kitchen area where everybody else was.
And to your knowledge, had Mr. Higgins been over to your house at any point prior?
He may have been at our house for a graduation party, but I wasn't sure if he had ever, like, been inside, because the party was outside. It was a cookout. So I don't know if he'd been in that part of my house.
Now, as far as the outside of your house, at any point in time during the course of the evening, did you hear anything unusual, see anything unusual outside of your house?
I didn't.
At any point in time, did you go, were you aware of anybody coming to your house that didn't come in?
I was only aware at one point. I saw my son, I think, either looking out the window or at the door, and his friend Julie, she went out the side door, and I said, to Brian, is Julie leaving? And he said, well, no, she had asked her brother for a ride.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. So no conversation, and Mr. Lally's going to ask another question.
Okay.
So you saw your son's friend Julie go outside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that has to be a yes or no. Okay.
Sorry.
And at some point, did Julie come back into the house?
Yes.
And about how long was it, if you know, that she was outside before she came back in?
I don't think it was very long, a couple minutes.
And over the course of the entirety of the evening, at any point, did anybody else, other than the people that you've talked about previously, come into your house?
No.
And specifically, John O'Keefe or Karen Reed that you saw at the bar earlier that night, at any point in time on the evening of the 28th or the early morning of the 29th, did either of those people come into your house?
No, they never came into my home.
And at any point in time, even on that evening or that early morning of the 29th, were you aware that they were coming to your house?
I actually wasn't. I didn't. I think when I was in the other room with my husband and his friend, I had missed the conversations about Jennifer reaching out with John, or her texting him and him texting her about where we lived. I didn't even realize that was happening, that they had any intention to come.
Let me ask you a little bit about sort of going back to the waterfall just for a brief moment. Over the course of your time there, how would you describe sort of the tone or how was everybody at the waterfall?
It was fine. It was a nice night. It was nothing out of the usual. Just had a good time.
So nothing abnormal, no arguments, no fighting or anything like that?
No.
Same question as it relates to back at your house now at 34 Fairview Road. How would you describe sort of the atmosphere back there?
Same thing. We were just hanging out, sitting around the house talking, having a good time, nothing crazy.
Now, after your daughter, Caitlin, gets picked up and she leaves, how long did you stay up after that?
I think once she left, I just did my final cleanup of the kitchen and, you know, shut the lights, and I went upstairs to bed.
And do you recall anything about locking the front door or any of the doors to your house before you went up to bed?
No.
Is that something that you would always do, typically do, never do?
It was type of thing where we have five kids, everyone's coming in and out at different times, like the last person in was supposed to lock it, but then, you know, we changed the doorknobs and immediately the keys got lost. It was just always a disaster. So a lot of times the door was just kind of left unlocked.
And when you went up to bed, you share a bedroom with your husband, Brian, correct?
Yep.
And was he awake or asleep?
He was awake. He was just lying in bed watching TV.
Now, as far as over the course of that evening after you come up to bed with your husband, do you recall anything about him talking to anyone on the phone or any phone conversations or anything like that?
I do not.
At some point you fall asleep and then you wake up the next day, is that right?
Yes.
And turning your attention to later on that morning on the 29th, so you had gone to bed about what time?
Probably 2:30-ish, somewhere around there.
And it's a little unclear from my question, but when you go up to your bedroom, about what time is that?
About 2, 2-ish.
And so the 2:30 that you're talking about, is that sort of when you fall asleep?
Yeah, sometime around there.
And from that next morning, how is it that you wake up the next morning?
Well, at some point between 6 and 6:30 that morning, my sister Jennifer came bursting into my bedroom.
and comes bursting into your bedroom. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what, if any, how would you describe your sister Jennifer, and how was she sort of acting at that point?
Well, she came in, my husband and I just kind of sat up in bed, and she's saying, he's out in the snow, we found him out in the snow, we don't know if he's okay. And my immediate thought was just that something had happened to one of my children, something had happened to one of her children. I couldn't imagine why she was in my bedroom at this time in the morning. And I'm like, Jennifer, what are you talking about? And she's like...
Objection. You're set.
All right, next question.
Your Honor, if I may. Can we approach?
Okay.
Sorry, Your Honor, one moment. Let me back you up just for a second and I'll get back to this. As far as when your sister Jennifer comes into your bedroom, do you know about what time that was?
Between 6 and 6:30.
And it's fair to say that's not a normal occurrence?
No, it's never happened before.
And if you could just describe your sister Jennifer's demeanor when she first comes into your bedroom.
She was hysterical.
And she said some things to you, and then where did you go from there?
Well, I tried to ask her what was going on, what is she talking about, and she told us.
Objection, Your Honor.
No, I'm going to allow that.
So she told us, you know, what had happened or what she had just witnessed outside, and we were just trying to understand what she's saying. Like I said, I didn't know if it was something that happened to one of her kids, one of my kids. And so I said, Jennifer, I don't know what you're talking about. So she finally was like, well, John, remember John from last night at the waterfall? And I'm like, you know, what do you mean? How could he be outside? And she's like, you got to get up. The police are here and they want to talk to you. So my husband and I got up. I think I threw on a sweatshirt. And we started to walk down the stairs. As we walked down the stairs into that foyer area, Officer Link was walking in the house.
And so that front foyer would have been the front door you were talking about before?
Yeah.
And when you get sort of down to the bottom of the stairs, is it just Officer Link, or are there any other officers with him?
It was just Officer Link at that time, and I kind of... The door was halfway open. I kind of pushed it open, looked out, and I saw like a cruisers and a couple of guys, you know, standing out in the snow. And I said, Jennifer, where's John now?
Objection, Your Honor.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to move on, Mr. Lally. The objection is sustained.
As far as when you looked outside, did you see any ambulance or fire truck or anything like that?
No, I didn't see an ambulance. I did see maybe two cruisers. I don't remember. I don't remember if there was a fire truck there. I don't think there was, but I'm not sure.
And as far as Officer Lank or any other officers, these are officers with the Canton Police, is that correct?
Yeah.
And where did they go once you opened the door?
So he came in the house, and I believe around the same time Jennifer's husband, Matt, had come. I assume she had called him. Or whatever. So it was me, Brian, and Jen and Matt, and Officer Lang said, can I come in? Can I talk to you guys? And we said, sure, absolutely. He came in, we sat at the table, and he was just kind of asking us all, okay, you know, where were you last night?
Objection, Your Honor.
Okay, sustain. Next question, please.
The table that you're talking about, where in the house did you talk to Officer?
That same dining room area.
And without regard to sort of content of the conversation, but about how long a period of time did that conversation with the officer go on?
I don't know, 45 minutes? Maybe, I'm not exactly sure.
As far as how the conversation ended, at any point during the conversation, did yourself or your sister or your husband or did anyone ever sort of end the conversation or tell the officers to leave the home or anything like that?
No. No.
And you welcomed them inside once you realized what was going on?
Yes, absolutely. And I believe another officer had come in as well.
Now, after the officers leave from your home, what happened then?
So I believe they left and said that someone would be in touch with us, the state police or somebody. So they left and we were all just kind of sitting there in shock. You know, I'm asking Jennifer, like, you know, what happened? How did you end up here? Like, what's going on?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. Next question, please.
Your Honor, as far as... May we approach just briefly?
Okay.
So, Ms. Albert, without any sort of specifics of your conversation with Ms. McCabe, you had a conversation with her, is that correct?
Yes.
And about how long did that conversation go on for in your case?
With just her? I mean, we were all just kind of sitting around the table talking.
And just to be clear, when we say all, who was all at this point?
It was me, my husband, and Jennifer, and Matt.
And at some point later on, did other people come over your house?
Yes, at some point my husband's friend Brian Higgins came over.
And do you know how he came to be at your house that morning?
I believe Brian called him to let him know. I mean, he had been with us the night before, and I think he had been friends with John and Karen, so Brian thought he should let him know.
And do you know about what time that was or how long it was after the officers left that Mr. Higgins came over?
Could have been 15, 20 minutes. I feel like he came somewhere around 7:38, and maybe the link had been done by 7:15. If he was around 6:30, I'm not really sure of the specifics.
And what happened then?
Then we were all just still kind of sitting there. Kerry, who is another person that was called that morning, she had been at the hospital, so she was kind of calling Jennifer, giving updates as to what was happening with John. So we were kind of waiting to hear how he was, if he was okay. Then around, I don't know if it was 8:30, I had noticed my sister-in-law, Julie, had pulled into the driveway. And I saw her get out, and she was putting a box of donuts in my son's car, whose birthday it was, because they had a bit between them where every year she did that. She got him donuts, and she would leave them for him. So I saw her, and I said to my husband, oh.
Objection.
Okay, not what you said to your husband. So wait for another question.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Spoke to her husband, and where did he go?
He went to the door to, because Julie was about to get back in her car and leave, and I thought that she should be made aware of what was going on.
And so your husband goes to the door, and at some point, your sister-in-law, Julie, comes into the house?
Yes.
And if you know about how long a period was Julie at your house initially that morning?
An hour or two. I'm not sure.
If you're not sure, you're not sure.
Yeah.
So as far as people that were over your house that morning, do you have any idea sort of how long people were congregating around your house after that initial Ms. McCabe bursting into your bedroom?
Again, it could have been between an hour and two.
And at some point... You mentioned that the Canton officers had indicated that you may be spoken to at some subsequent time by troopers from the state police, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And when was it that you, if you know, when was it in relation to this date that you spoke to anybody from the state police?
I wasn't interviewed for a couple days later.
And do you recall where you were when you were interviewed?
I was at my house.
Now, with reference to, you indicated that on the way back from the waterfall to your house at Fairview on the night previous, on the 28th into the 29th, it had just started to snow, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, when you looked outside or opened the door for Officer Lank as he came into the house, what, if anything, did you observe as far as the weather and how it had changed in the interim?
Well, to me, it was starting to look like blizzard conditions. It was very windy. It was snowing. It was, you know, the snow was starting to come down a lot now, and it was probably a couple inches accumulated, and it was, you know.
Now, at any point in time over the course of that day on the 29th, did you go outside from your house into the front yard or the driveway or anywhere else?
I didn't.
And anyone else from your house, other than the people coming and going, the people that live there, did you observe them going out into the front of the house area?
No.
Now, may I approach a witness?
Yes.
Ms. Albert, I'm placing before you a series of 8 photographs. I just asked you to look at them,
mm-hmm.
Review them, and then just look up whenever you finish.
Are these already in evidence?
They are not.
Okay.
Just to ask you, ma'am, in general, in those photographs, do you recognize what's in those photographs?
Yes.
Okay, what do you recognize those to be?
That's my front yard.
That was your front yard when you lived at 34 Fairview Road?
Yes.
Okay. And what's contained in there, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of around the time of January 29th, 2022?
Yes.
Your Honor, Commonwealth is seeking to introduce and admit.
Any objection, Ms. Little?
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. Yes, please.
You know, with the court's permission.
Hold on. Oh. We need to mark these. How many were there, Ms. Tullaly?
8, John.
Thank you.
Now, may I approach just to retreat?
Yes.
One moment, Your Honor.
Yes. J- Jurors, feel free to stand up and stretch if you'd like, okay?
Approach the witness, Sean?
Yes.
Albert, what I'm showing you here is what's been marked as exhibits 58, 59, 60, 63, and 64. And I'm going to direct your attention to this before you. It's a laser pointer. Just click on this button. And
Okay.
And you're on with the court's permission. First, I'd just like to start with exhibit 58 on the screen.
Okay.
And again, Ms. Albert, do you recognize what's up on the screen there?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that?
It was my home at the time.
And from this photograph, do you see that front door area where the foyer is and the side door area that you were talking about on your house?
Yes.
If you could, using the laser pointer in your hand, just direct the jury's attention to where each of those are and indicate where they are.
That would be the very front door. And then the side door is over here, in between.
And as far as the sort of what's in the front portion of this photograph, do you recognize that as if I'm standing and facing as this photograph is, your house, where you lived at 34 Fairview Road? What, if anything, do you have as sort of a landmark or an item that you observe in that sort of left area of the yard?
Flagpole.
Is there a fire hydrant there as well?
Yes.
And do you see anything as far as like a box or something like that?
Yeah, I believe there was some electrical box that I don't think we ever actually knew what it was or what it did.
So fair to say all the years that you lived there, it's not something that you utilized or even knew what it really did?
No.
Now this particular area of the yard, in its relation to the house, was that a part of the yard that was used or utilized by the family all that much when you lived there?
No.
And that part of the yard where the fire hydrant, flagpole, that is, how close is that to sort of the next door neighbor's abutting of the property?
It's pretty close. It's almost, I would say, on the, you know, close to the property line.
Now, as far as from the side of the road, in between sort of the curbing from the roadway and your front lawn, there's nothing there as far as a sidewalk or anything like that, is that correct?
Right.
And the curbing that's between sort of the roadway and the front lawn, how would you describe that? Is it a sharp curb, rounded curb?
It was kind of a rounded curb.
Now, with reference to your driveway, do you see that depicted in this particular photograph?
You can't really see it in the picture, no. But I mean, it's would be over here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If I could direct your attention to the next photograph that you have before you. Ms. Gilman, if I could have that one up on the screen as well. And again, Ms. Allen, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes.
And this is just another photograph of your home as it was around January 2022 at 34 Fairview Road.
Yes.
And from this photograph, do you see now sort of the driveway and where that is?
Yes.
And if you could just indicate to the jury sort of where in this photograph that would be.
The driveway was right here. The two garage doors, and then there was driveway right along here.
Now, in reference to that driveway, or in reference to your family at the time that lived at the house, about how many cars would there typically be when everyone's home parked in the driveway?
Could have been four. Let me think. One, two, three. I think four.
And who would those vehicles be typically operated by, and what kind of vehicles are we talking about?
I had my car, which was a Cadillac SUV. My husband had his work car. And then we had, a Ford Explorer. And then the kids were driving a Ford Escape, maybe.
All sort of bigger cars, all sort of SUVs, is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Megan, if I could direct your attention to the next photograph. And again, what's up on the screen, is that what you have before you as the next exhibit?
Yes.
And just for the record, if you could read the number that's on that photograph now.
60.
And again, what's up on the screen, is that just another depiction of your home at that time?
Yes.
Now, when you open that door and Officer Lank is there and you invite him into your house to talk, you said that you saw some cruisers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Where in relation to your property were the cruisers when you opened the door and saw them? If you could direct the jury's attention in this photograph.
I believe they were right here, somewhere here.
If I could direct your attention to the next photograph that's in there.
Yep.
And again, the photograph that's up on the screen, is that what you have before you?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm sorry to keep asking
yes.
you this, but
yes.
if you could read the number that's on the photograph.
63.
And so exhibit 63 up on the screen, if you could describe to the jury sort of what part of your property or abutting property are we looking at?
I believe our property ended, you know, somewhere along here.
So right about in the general area of the electrical box and fire hydrant you were talking about?
Yeah, yep.
And that next door residence there, do you know offhand what the number was for that?
I don't. Maybe 36? I'm not sure.
Somewhere in the vicinity of your number 34.
Yeah.
And if I could direct your attention to the next photograph then?
Mm-hmm. 64.
Thank you.
Yeah.
On pace. So with respect to this photograph, as far as the sort of side door, do you see that in this photograph?
Yeah, the side door would be right here.
And there's sort of another door off to the right of the photograph, is that correct?
Yep, that door would go into the garage.
And typically, at least around this time of January or late January 2022, as far as the vehicles that you were talking about, would any of those vehicles go in the garage or what was in the garage?
The garage was a little bit cluttered, so if there was a storm coming, we would try to arrange things so we could at least maybe get one or two of the cars in there, but otherwise we didn't put the cars in the garage. Only if it was gonna, you know, be a storm, we would try to get some of them out of the driveway.
And with reference to these specific dates of January 28th and the 29th and this specific storm, do you recall anything as far as putting vehicles in the garage on those dates?
I don't, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we had maybe put mine in there because I had gotten picked up that night. I'm not sure.
And I believe, is there one more photograph that we have to talk about?
Um, 58.
May I approach John?
Yeah. No. Okay.
Now, in addition, let me ask you this. At this time in January of 2022, did your family have any pets?
Yes.
And how many pets did you have?
We had one. We had a dog.
What was the dog's name?
Chloe.
And what type of dog was it?
It was a German Shepherd mix.
And how long had you had the dog at that point?
About 6 years, I believe.
And do you recall sort of when you got the dog, how you got the dog, or where you got the dog from?
We got the dog from a shelter in Texas.
And what type of, so shelter, or fair to say it's a rescue dog?
Yes.
And where did the dog typically go within the house?
It was when it was allowed anywhere in the house.
And as far as nighttime, would there be any sort of particular pattern of where the dog would sleep?
Yes, at nighttime when we went up to bed, it came up with us and it slept in our bedroom.
And at any point in time, during the time from when you returned from the waterfall to your home, where was the dog at that point?
Well, the dog had been up in the room, and I believe my husband, when we first got in, brought her down to let her out to go to the bathroom.
And when the dog went out to go to the bathroom at when you lived at 34 Fairview Road, where would the dog go? How would that...
Well, she pretty much, no, she knew the door where to go, so when she had to go, she would go to that door, and she would just go out and run in the backyard and go and on her own.
So on her own, and someone would sort of stand at the back door?
Yes.
And the back door that we're talking about, what kind of door is that?
It's a regular door.
I mean, is like, it a door that opens? Is it a sliding door?
Oh, yeah, no, like just a regular door, and it had, I think, a storm door, you know, behind it.
And the backyard area of your home at 34 Fairview, when you lived there in around January 2022, how was that enclosed at all?
It was fenced in.
So dogs putting it out if everything's closed up in the back?
Yes, as long as the gates were shut.
And as far as that particular evening, after you returned from the waterfall, you indicated your husband let the dog out. About how long a period of time was the dog outside?
I believe it was pretty quick. She went, did her business, and came back in. I think she might have walked around the kitchen for a minute or two, and then I think you just brought her back upstairs.
And to your knowledge, did Chloe the dog, did Chloe go outside at any other point over the course of that evening?
No.
Now, at some point, obviously you've moved from 34 Fairview to North, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And when about was it in relation to this incident of January 29th, 2022, that you moved?
We moved in April of 2023.
And what, if any, plans or discussions were there in reference to moving prior to January 29th?
Objection, Your Honor.
So not the specifics, but generally, not the conversation.
We had always planned to move, but it was in our plans that, you know, what, kids were starting to get older. We were looking to possibly downsize. So at the end of 2021, my husband's brother had sold his house.
Objection.
No, I'm going to allow that.
My husband's brother had sold his house and got a good deal for it. It sold pretty quickly. The market was really good at that time. So we just started thinking, hey, you know, the kids are getting older. A couple of them had already moved out. We weren't going to be able to stay in that house. You know, it's like a 5-bedroom house. Once our kids were gone, my husband and I wouldn't have been able to maintain that. Needed a lot of work. We couldn't afford it. You know, so we said, maybe now's the time. We should put it on the market and see what happens. So I think in November, December.
So hold on. Next question, Mr. Lally.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
So you put it on the market, it sold, and then you moved to it.
Objection leading.
The objection sustained. Ask a non-leading question.
When was it that the sale was finalized with the home?
April of 23.
And as far as selling the house, what, if any, relationship did that have to what occurred on January 29th, 2020?
It had no relation to it. We had already had thoughts and plans of doing it before that happened. We had reached out to a realtor in the end of 21.
May I have one moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
I have nothing further for this witness, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Little.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Ms. Albert.
Hello.
you were at the Waterfall Bar and Grill on January 29th for approximately 4.5 hours. Is that correct?
I was there from, say, 7:45 till about midnight.
So about 4 hours?
Yeah.
And you were there with a group of individuals, including Brian Albert, Jennifer McCabe, Matt McCabe, Julie Albert, Chris Albert, Caitlin Albert, and Tristan Morris, and then were later joined by Brian Higgins, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You testified that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed joined your group around 11 p.m., is that right?
Approximately.
Over the course of those 4 hours that you were there, did you see any sort of tension whatsoever between John O'Keefe and Ms. Reed?
Well, no, they were only there for an hour when I was there, but I didn't have really any interaction with them. But no, I didn't see anything.
So based on your observations, everyone appeared generally happy and in good spirits, correct?
Yes, yep.
At any point while you were at the Waterfall Bar and Grill, did you observe Karen Reed stumbling, slurring her words, or otherwise appearing to be under the influence?
I did not, but again, I never engaged in any sort of conversation with her.
Did you observe your husband and Brian Higgins engaging in sort of practice fighting techniques while you were at the Waterfall Bar and Grill?
I saw them fooling around with each other, yeah.
Okay. Your Honor, if I could show just a screenshot of a video that's been previously marked.
A screenshot of it? Sure. Yes, so can you take this down just until the witness has it, please? I thought you were just showing the screenshot. You want to show it up here?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So what are you doing?
Should we mark that as an exhibit? Or?
I don't think there's a need to. I thought you were showing something to the juror that you were just
going. Okay. Yeah. If I could show you this photograph.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we will mark it for identification.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Ms. Albert, do you
So hold on, we need to, so we'll mark it for identification. So we'll take it from the witness for a minute, please.
Sorry.
We'll mark it for identification, but this is incorporated in what exhibit number?
I believe it's exhibit 53, Your Honor.
All right, just so our record's clear.
Thank you.
One screenshot is W for identification.
Thank you. All right, so now you can...
Your Honor, if I may, I haven't seen what the witness is looking at.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so you want to display it on the screen now, Ms. Little?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, sure. Go right ahead.
Ms. Albert, do you see the two individuals sort of in closest frame to us with their backs turned to us? Two males?
Yeah.
I know it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
Who is the man that has just been zoomed in with the logo on the back of his sweatshirt?
I believe that's Brian Higgins.
Okay. And then the person with that sweatshirt is, you said, Brian Higgins?
I think. Yeah. It's a little hard to tell.
Over into the other individual who's standing right next to him. I know this is kind of hard to see because the number's blocking it.
Yeah.
But does that appear to be your husband to the left, kind of in a fighting stance?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Ms. Albert, when your husband drinks, does he often...
So, I'm sorry, are we taking this down or keeping it up?
Yes, Your Honor, you can take it down.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Albert, when your husband drinks, does he often get into sort of these practice sparring, practice fighting stances? Is that common for him?
Objection.
No, I'm going to allow it.
No, I don't think so.
So this type of behavior was unusual for him?
No, I think they were just fooling around. I don't think there was anything much to it.
My question was, is it unusual for you to see him sort of practice fighting?
I wouldn't call that practice fighting. I think they were just fooling around. And yeah, maybe I've seen him do that other times, but it was fooling around. They weren't practicing.
Let me put this a different way. You do know that your husband is a highly trained fighter, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Absolutely not.
Your husband has no fighting experience whatsoever?
A highly trained fighter? No, he's not.
He has boxing experience, correct?
Objection.
So I'm going to see you at sidebar on this, please.
Ms. Albert, your husband has boxing experience, correct?
Yes.
He also has fighting experience from his training in the military, correct?
I don't know what fighting experience from the military means. I mean, he was in the Marine Corps. He was out of the Marine Corps in 1992.
But he had training through the Marine Corps and through the Boston Police Department with fighting and defensive tactics, correct?
I assume so.
Ms. Albert, you testified earlier that you left the waterfall around, I believe, 11:45. Is that correct?
No, I said I think closer to 12.
Okay. Could I show you what's been previously marked as Exhibit 53? Your Honor, would I have permission to publish Exhibit 53?
Okay.
And Mr. Bates, if I could have you start the video at 5:14. If you could pause. This video?
No, I don't.
Do you see the woman that's in the lower quadrant? Do you recognize that individual at all?
I don't. It's so I can't tell who that is.
I know this is not the best video, so I'll play a little bit more and see if you might be able to recognize it. You don't recognize who that individual is?
I mean, it could be me. I'm not sure. I can't really tell.
All right, so this is an instance where the video has to speak for itself, right?
Understood, Your Honor. You could play just for a little bit longer. You could pause. Did you recognize the woman that just sort of walked forward?
Yes. Now, seeing the coat, I recognize that it's me.
Thank you. And did you see what was in your hand when you walked by?
I don't.
You could play just a little bit more. Ms. Albert, do you see that you appear to be holding something?
Yes.
What is that?
Looks like a can.
And what time is that video taken?
11:58.
So that would have been approximately the time that you were leaving the Waterfall Bar and Grill.
Yep.
You guys had a fun night. It looks like you kind of grabbed the White Claw. You're about to leave. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You testified earlier that you got home.
So can we turn the lights back on? And okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Let me switch gears a little bit. You testified earlier that there are four cars that are usually parked in the driveway at 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
And you listed at least the make and model of about three of those vehicles.
Yeah.
Do you recall that?
Yep.
You said there's a Cadillac that usually is parked in your driveway, there's a Ford Explorer, and there's a Ford Escape, correct? Yep. But you also said there's a fourth car. That's your husband's work vehicle.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
What type of car is that?
That's a Ford Edge.
A black Ford Edge.
Yes. Yep.
Is there a reason that you didn't want to state or commit to that in front of this jury when you originally testified?
No, there's no reason. I was just trying to think of all the different cars. We have five kids. We've had a lot of different vehicles. I was just saying it as I remembered it.
News coverage in this case has revealed the importance of a Ford Edge.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
In your mind, a Ford Edge has significance to this case, doesn't it?
Objection, Your Honor.
No, can you answer that? Does a Ford Edge have significance in this case to you?
I've heard it talked about, yeah.
And what you've heard talked about is that An eyewitness saw...
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to stop you on that. The objection sustained.
Ms. Albert, you know there's significance to the Ford Edge, and that's the one...
Objection, Your Honor.
...that you did not mention in your initial testimony, correct?
So I'm going to allow that question. Can you answer that?
I just was trying to think of all the different makes and models. I did not purposely say that.
Okay. Where did your husband strike that? You testified earlier that you weren't sure exactly where Brian Higgins parked that night when he arrived at your house, correct?
Right.
And you said, I'm not sure, but then you gave a pretty vivid description about him being parked, you think, in front of the house by the mailbox facing away from your residence, correct?
Right, yep.
Is that statement something that's from your personal recollection or for something that you've discussed with other witnesses in this case?
No, it's from my personal recollection of what I'm pretty sure I remembered. He pulled in first. He backed out so we could pull in, and then I'm pretty sure he pulled out and parked along the curb where the mailbox was.
So you haven't discussed that statement with any other witnesses in this case?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
You testified earlier that when you arrived at 34 Fairview, your son, Brian Albert Jr. was there, Julie Nagel was there, Sarah Levinson was there, and that your nephew, Colin Albert, was also present, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you describe sort of your interaction with Colin Albert when you walked in the door?
It was literally, I was coming in, I think we almost bumped into each other. I said, I didn't realize he was there. I said, hey, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I just come by to see Brian, but my ride's on its way, I'm about to leave. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, all right, I see ya. And he just kind of continued on. I think he must have went out the door.
So when you first testified, I believe you stated that you saw Colin seated at the table with Brian Jr., correct?
When I testified, when?
Earlier today.
I don't believe I said that.
Shortly after he got up.
No, I don't believe I said that.
You never said that he was initially seated with Brian Jr.
No, I'm pretty sure I said when I walked in, I immediately saw him.
So when you walked in the door, you're saying he was already leaving to go get his ride, correct?
He was standing and looked to me like he was getting ready for someone who was coming to pick him up.
Got it. And when you pulled up with Brian Higgins and Brian Albert, that all happened around the same time, correct?
Yes.
And you have never mentioned seeing any other vehicle waiting outside the house for Colin when you arrived, correct?
No.
You didn't observe another vehicle outside the house?
No, I'm not saying, he said to me, my ride's almost here, I'm leaving. So I didn't see anything outside about his ride.
And it was cold outside that night?
Yeah.
So he sort of walked out the door before his ride arrived?
I don't know if he went and stood and waited by the door. I came in the house, and like I said, I immediately said hello to my son, his friends. I went and started doing my cleaning, and I didn't really pay attention. But I assume he left, because I never saw him again.
So you're not sure if he was sort of standing by the front door?
I'm not sure. I mean, he could have been standing there waiting. He said his ride was about to be there.
Okay. But you didn't see him leave.
I did not see him leave.
You testified that your German Shepherd, Chloe, was also at the house when you arrived home on January 29th, correct?
Yes.
She's a large German Shepherd.
Yep, about 70 pounds.
She's not great with strangers.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that she... It's kind of a poorly worded question. Would you say that she's good with strangers?
I'd say she's fine with strangers.
Fine with strangers, okay.
Yep.
She's definitely not good with other animals, is she?
No, she did not like other dogs.
Chloe actually has a well-documented bite history, doesn't she?
Objection.
Does she?
With dogs. A couple dogs, yes.
Ms. Albert, she also has a bite history with humans, doesn't she?
Objection.
Ask that differently.
Ms. Albert, Chloe has injured other humans, hasn't she?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
In one incident in May of 22, when she got out and was fighting with another dog, the woman, whose dog it was, tried to break up the two dogs, and while she was trying to break up the two dogs, she got injured.
There are actually two individuals who were injured in that incident, correct?
Well, there was two women, but I believe just one woman, from what I understand, had an injury from Chloe. The other one may have fallen or something, but I'm not sure 100%.
There were two women who were actually taken to the hospital after that incident, correct?
Yes, a neighbor had called the police, or called an ambulance just to make sure they were okay.
And you mentioned that Chloe had actually escaped from the backyard in that incident.
Yes.
And that happens from time to time at your house, correct?
It had happened a few times, yes.
And Mr. Albert let Chloe out when he arrived that night, correct?
Yep.
Ms. Albert, you don't have Chloe anymore, do you?
Nope.
In May of 2022, 4 months after Mr. O'Keefe's death, you got rid of your family dog of 6 years.
Objection.
Oh, is that true? Is that when you got rid of your dog?
I did not get rid of my dog. I rehomed my dog.
Your dog is no longer in the Canton area, correct?
No, but I know where she is. She's in Vermont. And that previous testimony, that information has all been given. So if she was ever needed for anything, we know where she is.
Was that testimony given to the defense?
Probably.
Was I present at the hearing where you testified about this?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Your Honor, can we approach?
Sure.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.